Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review for March 14th, 2016. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Cruz Making Campaign Stop Monday in Decatur. Article by Tony Reed, Herald and Review staff writer from Decatur. Republican presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz will hold a rally in Decatur tonight. The event will run from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel, with the doors opening at 6:30 p.m. State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican from Mahomet, is listed as being a special guest at the rally. The Decatur visit, part of five Illinois rallies for Cruz, comes hard on the heels of Republican frontrunner Donald Trump's visit Sunday to Bloomington. The flurry of high-powered political activity in the land of Lincoln highlights the state's importance in a year when the outcome of the Republican primary race is far from certain. Illinois has 69 delegates up for grabs, and while 15 are beholden to the statewide victor, the other 54 get distributed, three each, to the candidate with the highest vote totals in each of the state's 18 congressional districts. Some political experts watching the race closely said Cruz's efforts to pick up downstate delegates in both Illinois and Missouri could open up an avenue to blunt Trump's momentum. The Cruz campaign has high hopes of doing well in more rural agricultural districts. But whatever way the final voting tallies shake out, local Republicans are rejoicing in the attention being lavished on the downstate area by the men fighting for the nation's top job. Bruce Pillsbury, chairman of the Macon County Republican Central Committee, welcomed the spotlight shifting away from the Democratic stronghold of Chicago. "It's nice that the rest of the state is getting some attention, and well-deserved attention," he added. "Let's face it, Illinois is one of the top states in the country, and I believe all of the candidates on the national level pay attention to Illinois. The delegate count is all important." Pillsbury wouldn't say which candidate he preferred, but does believe his party will unite behind the winner despite the slings and arrows of a bruising primary battle. "I think the main thing we have to realize is that the Democratic Party, with the two candidates they have, is not acceptable," he said. And further from the local page, Huey Freeman, Herald and Review staff writer, writes, "Decatur police seeking minorities, women, to fill ranks." It is a challenge for departments to find minority candidates to become police officers at a time when there is pressure for forces to become more diverse. "We always are encouraging minorities and women to apply," Deputy Decatur Police Chief David Dickerson said. "We're always trying to make special efforts in that area." The department is hoping more people apply during its current cycle. The deadline for applications to be turned into the city is Friday. "The number of applicants is down," Dickerson said, adding that just 7 years ago, more than 500 people applied to join the force. "Now we're sitting at roughly 100 applicants." Dickerson said one reason the numbers might be down is the public perception that it is difficult to work in law enforcement. "With police officers under scrutiny for interactions with minorities, many minority young people aren't interested in police careers. The qualified individuals interested in becoming officers are sometimes heavily recruited. We face the same problems that most other police agencies and fire agencies face," Dickerson said. "Everyone's vying for certain pools of candidates, such as minorities. They're applying at three or more agencies when they decide that's what they want to do. It is not easy to become an officer. There is a challenging physical test to pass, as well as a written exam, an interview, and a stringent background check. We like to see people with a college degree, but that's not necessary," Dickerson said, adding that military experience is also considered favorably. "We're also looking for those who have done a good job, reliable employees who show up at work and don't cause problems." With policing increasingly dependent on pervasive electronics, an officer is expected to be technologically savvy. The starting salary for a patrol officer in Decatur is listed at $53,796. There is room for advancement to a detective, master patrol officer, canine, or command officer. There's a lot to policing in this day and age, Dickerson said. We have computers in the cars, cameras in the cars. It's a very technical job. Having experience dealing with computer concepts is a huge aid to performing well in this job. It's more than driving around in a squad car and being sent to a detail. There's a lot of aspects to policing. Further from the government and politics page, lawmakers immune to FOIA requests. From Springfield, Chicago Democrat Michael Madigan is known as a tireless worker, the nation's longest-serving statehouse speaker, chairman of the Illinois Democratic Party, kingmaker, and career breaker, and he does do it all without the aid of email or an appointment calendar. That is one extraordinary fact turned up by an Associated Press public records request of the General Assembly's leaders in advance of Sunshine Week. The other is that the Illinois Senate considers itself immune under the state constitution from having to turn over records. The AP submitted such requests to legislative leaders in all 50 states for daily schedules and emails from government accounts for the week of February 1st through the 7th. In Illinois, which was the last state in the U.S. to adopt an open records law, the effort produced nothing. Individual legislators are not considered public bodies under the Illinois Freedom of Information Act because they cannot alone pull the levers of government like, say, the governor, who discloses his appointment calendars. But there are nuances in key court cases on the issue, and advocates say transparency is just good government. There's a compelling public interest to know who has access to legislators, because not everybody does, said Matt Topic, a public access lawyer for the Chicago-based firm Levy & Levy. The AP's requests produced nothing from Madigan, House Republican leader Jim Durkin, Senate President John Cullerton, or Senate Republican leader Christine Redondo. It has appealed the denials to the state attorney general's public access referee, who often takes years to decide. The Constitution states that while in session, legislators are free from having to appear in court or before any tribunal. But whether the Senate considers taxpayers a tribunal is unclear. John Patterson, a spokesman for Cullerton, did not respond to the question. Patty Hsu, a spokeswoman for Redondo, a Lamont Republican, referred to the AP denial letter from Senate FOIA officer Giovanni Rodazzo. House Majority Leader Barbara Flynn Curry, a Chicago Democrat, sponsored the FOIA in 1983, declaring during floor debate, "The General Assembly is not exempt, nor is any agency of state government." House FOIA officer Brad Boland said the only AP-requested records that exist are emails sent and received by Durkin, which Boland declared exempt. Durkin's spokeswoman, Vicki Crawford, did not answer how the Western Springs Republican keeps track of his schedule. When asked whether Madigan, who has served in the legislature since 1971, uses email, spokesman Steve Brown said, "No, not really." "An appointment calendar?" "No," Brown said, "not that I'm aware of." The FOIA makes an exception for preliminary drafts expressing opinions to encourage brainstorming by public servants for the best policy ideas without fear that they'll be publicized. The section specifically covers preparation of legislative documents. The House and Senate say all emails and calendar entries are preliminary drafts. The AP argued in its appeal that those items would have to include proposed legislation or language. FOIA allows the government to withhold personal identifiers in public records, such as Social Security or driver's license numbers. Both the House and Senate use constitutional cover in arguing that publishing the names of people who contact legislators would discourage citizens from continuing to do so. But privacy doesn't cover officials' public duties, and petitioners include lobbyists, other elected officials, or corporate CEOs who are bending legislators' ears, and typically pack more influence than an average voter. From the Crime and Courts page of Local News, article by Edith Brady Lenny of the Lee News Service Writer, Police ID Clinton Man Shot After Standoff. from Clinton. A Clinton man with a history of mental illness was fatally shot by police Friday after a standoff with officers from the Clinton Police and DeWitt County Sheriff's Department. Jack Goodman, 46, was despondent when he called police Friday afternoon to report he was suicidal and armed, according to a statement from the two police agencies. When officers arrived at 101 East Benton Street, they found a man in the front yard armed with a large butcher knife and a club, said police. After several minutes of efforts by police to negotiate with the subject, he told officers that he had taken measures to ensure that non-lethal force would not be effective and that he would make officers shoot him, according to the statement issued Friday night. Officers from both departments fired simultaneously after the man came toward them with a butcher knife, said the release from Sheriff Jared Schofner and Clinton Police Chief Ben Lowers. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. Further details were unavailable Friday night. The Illinois State Police is investigating the incident to avoid potential conflict. Also from the crime page of local news, Decatur, bogus student loan firm scams Decatur woman. A Decatur woman complained to police she is out $1,500 after being scammed by a bogus firm offering to lower the interest rates on her student loans. Written reports say the 30-year-old victim had been making automatic debit payments to the firm between August and earlier this month when she discovered that no action had been taken on her loans and she was in arrears. From Decatur, Teresa Churchill, Herald and Review senior writer, writes, special advocates see number go up. Coffees need attract new volunteers. The number of advocates representing abused and neglected children will be back above 70 for the first time in a couple years after a dozen volunteers joined up last week and two more are set to take the oath soon. Among those sworn in by Associate Circuit Court Judge Thomas Little were Nikki Walker, 42, of Mount Zion, and Mike Heger, 72, of Decatur, who came to an informational coffee the Macon County Court-appointed special advocates began hosting periodically in January. Walker, a substitute teacher, discovered that the program is a great organization, and Heger said that its goal coincides with the mission of the Golden K. Kiwanis, to which he belongs, namely, to serve the children of the world. Pam Burkhardt, executive director of the Advocates, said the coffees are one new way the program has found to get information out to people, with the next one scheduled for Saturday, March 19th. She also said the most recent round of training was just the third time there were enough participants to hold both morning and evening classes since the program began offering both options in the fall of 2013. That it produced 14 new volunteers represented a breakthrough after 2015 saw just 17 new advocates added to the roster, which was not enough to keep up with the number stepping down or taking a break. Burkhardt added that there are still far more children needing an advocate than there are trained volunteers to help them. Others sworn in Wednesday included Katie Baggett, Marilyn Deckert, Terry Moore, and Doris Rowan, all of Decatur, and Kendon Burroughs of Blue Mound and Rocchio Carrieri of Forsyth. Rhonda Gregory, 50, came all the way from Sullivan to take the training because Moultrie County doesn't have a court-appointed advocate program. Carol Metcalf, 62, and her granddaughter, Christina Grimm, 23, both of Decatur, took classes together. Retired teacher Rachel Miller, 55, of Decatur, said she was drawn to the work in hopes she could be there for a child in a way no one was there for her younger son, who was 14 when her husband and his father died suddenly in 2008. Families fall through the cracks far too easily, she said. Volunteers who have completed training but were unable to attend Wednesday's ceremony were Tara Osland of Decatur and Michelle Barbie of Oakley. And the sidebar to this article indicates what it is. It's the Macon County Court-Appointed Special Advocates. The next coffee is at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, March 19th, at the Wildflower Artisan Bakery and Cafe at 250 West Main Street. The next training, day classes will begin Thursday, April 7th, evening classes on Tuesday, April 19th. For more information, find the program on Facebook. Visit MaconCountyCasa.org or call 217-428-8424. And also relating to CASA, Teresa Churchill, Herald and Review senior writer, writes, "New CASAs for CASA, playhouses set to support special advocates for children." From Decatur, after generating 30 different playhouses over the past 11 years, you'd think the folks behind the annual CASAs for CASA raffle would have trouble coming up with something fresh. Not so, as this year's title sponsor, Strata's Foods, is the inspiration for a food truck playhouse designed to appeal to boys and girls. "I'm sure the kids would enjoy something like that, so it's a pretty neat deal," said Jason Smith, manager of the Strata's plant in Decatur. "We're pretty excited to be part of this." This is also the second year volunteers and staff with the Macon County Court-Appointed Special Advocates Program plans to get the two playhouses to Hickory Point Mall in time to take advantage of the Easter Bunny's presence. They're shooting for a St. Patrick's Day arrival instead of waiting closer to April 1st, the start of Child Abuse Awareness Month, which is central to the program's mission of representing the best interests of abused and neglected children in court. This year, Easter falls on March 27th. After building a beach playhouse for the special advocates last year, remodeling contractors Doug Davidson and Brian Crafton were tasked with creating a food truck from a drawing of one designed by St. Louis architect Patrick Ladendecker for another CASAs for CASA event 2 years ago. They said, "No plans, no problem," said Pam Burkhart, executive director of the Macon County program. "It's exciting to see what they came up with." KLH Construction also volunteered to build a playhouse for the second consecutive year, this year completing a Victorian home after constructing a log cabin in 2015. Painting the Victorian was the men's group at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, also helping out for the second year in a row. The project manager is Ted Payne, a retired Macon County Circuit judge, who assisted with construction and also with the painting and decorating that came later. Christine Dugan, chairwoman of this year's CASAs for CASA committee, said she hopes the raffle does at least as well as last year's, which raised about $40,000. Other event sponsors besides Strata's include Brinketter & Associates, Caterpillar Inc., Cromwell Group, First Mid-Illinois Bank & Trust, Lowe's, Miller Wealth Management, Newhoff Media, Prairie Land Towing, Thrivent Financial, and Trump Direct. Davidson estimated that he and Crafton invested about 28 hours in building the food truck playhouse. "That's counting the head-scratching time," Crafton said. They said the biggest challenge was keeping all three dimensions from exceeding 8 feet, while still giving children plenty of details to play with. The finished playhouse will feature a steering wheel that turns, faux stovetop and stainless steel sink, an awning, and a food counter inside and out. And the sidebar to this article says what it is: Stratus Foods 2016 CASAs for CASA Playhouse Raffle at Hickory Point Mall. And when? Tickets go on sale Friday, March 18th through the drawing at 4 p.m. Saturday, April 30th. Where? Available online at MaconCountyCASA.org and at the Macon County Court Appointed Special Advocates Office, 132 South Water Street, Suite 250. Glenda Williamson Realty at 1110 Arbor Drive, Suite D. Land of Lincoln Credit Union, 2890 North Oakland Avenue, 3130 East Mound, and 4850 Prosperity Drive in Mount Zion. Trump Direct, 1591 North Water Street. All in Decatur except where noted. Also, Lowe's Home Improvement at 990 Hickory Point Plaza in Hickory Point Mall, both in Forsyth. The ticket cost is $5 for one, $10 for three, $25 for 10, and $50 for 20, and $100 for 50. For more information, call 217-428-8424. Local education news. Valerie Wells, Herald and Review staff writer, writes, Decatur School Initiative furthers teacher growth. From Decatur. Pursuing a master's degree can be an expensive endeavor and takes time that many teachers can't spare. But thanks to Decatur's Grow Your Own initiative, several Decatur teachers are able to work toward the advanced degree. It is our goal as a district to cultivate leadership at all levels, said Superintendent Lisa Taylor. We believe in Grow Your Own programs aimed at increasing staff retention. We have an abundance of talented teachers with strong leadership skills, so it only made sense to create a leadership cohort within Decatur. The district formed a partnership with Eastern Illinois University to establish two cohorts, both in Decatur, to make it more convenient for the teachers to attend classes. The Decatur Education Association, the teachers' union, provides some reimbursement for tuition, but not enough to cover the entire cost. Taylor worked with a local donor to provide a fellowship, which helped cover another portion of the cost, bringing the total within reach. It's always something I've been interested in, and I wanted to get a master's, but time and money were always the things that kept me from doing it, said Keith Creighton, a teacher at Dennis School. We're working with a cohort of our people working on Decatur issues, and that really appealed to me. Classes meet on weekends and online, said Danita Hentz, a first grade teacher at Harris School. She learns things that are practical and useful and which she can bring back to her classroom on Monday and put into immediate use. Her ultimate goal is to get a principal endorsement with Creighton, which Creighton said he was working toward as well. Though both said they're not sure they actually want to be principals, having the option is what appeals to them. Teachers who join the cohort are asked to promise to stay in the district, at least for a while after they receive the master's degree, Creighton said. The idea is that the district helps them increase their skills and they use those to help the kids in Decatur. I really like that any of the work we're doing in research and all that is happening in our schools, Creighton said. What really made it possible for me to do it was when the superintendent worked with the James Milliken Estate to put together the fellowships. Hentz has been a teacher for 22 years and has taught first grade almost all of that time. When I entered the program, my intent was to get the master's degree and be done, Hentz said. But as I'm working on it, there are times I think I wouldn't mind having the principal endorsement as well. I'm kind of late getting my master's compared with others who are in the program with me. But better late than never. And also from the education page, Future Teacher Doing His Homework. Article by Valerie Wells from Decatur. T.J. Griffey has known since he was a small child that he wanted to be a teacher, and now, as a senior in high school, he's getting a taste of what the job actually entails, and he still wants to be a teacher. I just really like helping kids, and I like seeing kids not having to struggle, said Griffey, a senior at MacArthur High School who plans to major in elementary education at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. I like being able to take kids aside when the teacher can't, and help them with their work, and make sure they really understand it. Griffey is in the Inspired Futures Internship Program of Decatur's Public Schools and spends afternoons 3 days a week in Pam Helms' fourth grade classroom at Enterprise School. He described his duties as similar to a teaching assistant's, where he takes one or two students at a time to a table in the back of the room and works with them if they are having difficulty, making sure they don't fall behind. I just don't like seeing kids unhappy, he said. I want them to be happy. If they fall behind today, they won't understand tomorrow's work or the day after. Himself a product of Decatur schools, Griffey said he credits the staff at Oak Grove School for setting him on the path to academic success, and when he finishes college, he wants to return to his hometown and teach in Decatur schools, specifically fourth grade. By fourth grade, he said, kids are beginning to find their unique interests and are ready to branch out and try new things. Helm, who has been teaching for 22 years, is often chosen to host student teachers, so she's used to having someone in the room with her, and she assigns Griffey to do the same tasks she'd give to a teaching assistant or student teacher. He's willing to do anything she asks of him, she said, and she's been giving him advice on classroom discipline, lesson planning, and a big one, grading papers. That's one thing you don't want to fall behind on, she said, laughing. In addition to being part of the overall internship program and providing students with on-the-job experience, the three students who are interning with teachers are part of the district's Grow Your Own program, encouraging young people who have an interest in teaching to explore the career and urging them to come home after college to teach in the Decatur schools. Hannah Hillman and Reagan Hale, also students at MacArthur, are doing their internships at Dennis School. All these internships are very important for Decatur schools and local businesses, said Ashley Greenid, Extended Learning Coordinator. When you think about growing your own and building relationships and being impactful, this is what it's all about. Fourth grader Damani Shelby said she enjoys having Griffey in the class and he's a lot of help. We can always ask him questions and he's helping me to be a smarter girl, she said. And from Oriana, Math Open House tests preschool skills. The learning standards the preschool children are expected to meet sound pretty daunting at first, but when they're boiled down to terms the kids themselves understand, it's not so bad. At Argenta Oriana Elementary School on Friday, the family coordinators offered an open house math event for preschool students and their parents. At one station, the kids were asked to put two plastic bugs on the third frog, and Max Bruns had no problem at all doing that, nor with putting three bugs on the fifth frog. You're so smart, said his dad, Jason Bruns. Other activities asked kids to choose which item should be used to answer a question, a scale, a stopwatch, or a ruler, or to estimate how many plastic bugs were in a jar. Designed for parents to assist, the activities simultaneously showed which concepts kids already understood and how parents could work with their children at home to develop skills they'll need in kindergarten, said preschool family coordinator Cheryl Vandervoord. Brun said he and Max's mom Chelsea work with Max at home, but not in an organized, we're going to sit down and work on math or reading now, way. We do it in natural ways, Chelsea Brun said. We'll make muffins and use measuring cups, stuff like that. Kindergarten children start learning to read and do math, unlike the days when kindergarten was a more gentle transition into school with plenty of playtime and nap time built in. Kids now are expected to be ready to start academics right away, which is why preschool standards call for developing the skills ahead of time that will allow kids to jump right in, said Julie Hook, the family coordinator for Birth to Three in the Argenta Oriana District. Vandervoord searched for ideas on the internet and made most of the activities using frogs because the school has a book about frogs available for $1, which the kids can take home with them. This allows me to use my creativity, and I enjoy that, she said. And we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, March 14th, 2016. Please stay tuned.